Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
glory, glory,
oh.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do do, I'm happy that you do that do and that you do that do with me. It's Monday, and if you're hearing my voice, then that means you did exactly what you should have done on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that was not kill anybody, but more importantly, ensure that nobody killed you. Now, over the weekend, right, we had the Labor Day March, and I'm sure it's probably the most buzzing thing in the news media this morning. But what I will say is, when I was a boy, we played a game that was a bit salacious, but even mildly inappropriate, right? But you would say the things that you've done during the course of your day. And if it was something silly, you would use a word that we said was a Latin word, right? And the word was "ova tenazium," right? "Ova tenazium," "ova tenazium." And if you are a prime minister that is going to respond to a labor movement in the country, a labor movement that, by my estimation, if we calculate the Department of Public Service in itself, with some 20,000 plus employees, if we calculate the hotel staff, we're talking about 10,000 employees. And then if we go and we start to talk about all of the people that are just simple members of the labor force of the Bahamas, we're probably talking somewhere, hovering anywhere in the area of about 100,000 people, right? If politics is a numbers game and you are the leader of a party that happens to be the government, which as a consequence, makes you the prime minister. And the people that you choose to get on their nerves are the people that make up the 100,000 people. Then at the end of that statement, you ought to say it something like this. I frustrated, as a politician, 100,000 voting people. Oh, what an ass I am. If you, as the prime minister, put your police force, if you permit your commissioner to put his police force in a unpoliceable position, all right, over something that was as menial and as trivial as a motorcade. And I'm going to play for you because Paho is suggesting to us that it isn't the social gatherings, that it isn't necessarily the goings on of everyday people. What in fact it is political leaders that are doing the campaigning, not the elections, the campaigning. And so on one hand, right, you allow the minions and the butterflies and the politically the political salivating people, right, or political favor salivating people, that's what I call them, the people that chomp at the bits for an opportunity to say, yeah, man, I know the boss has called me on my cell phone, we talk all hours of the night, man, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, he's called me. I don't know why, a married man, who should be laying next, his wife is that hot and bothered about being called by another man. But the point I make is that those people, those are the ones that I'm talking about. Anyway, and so when you permit those people to go into, with their candidates, of course, to go into these areas with very little protection. Most of them have no medical insurance. Many of them are not signed up for the national health insurance. And so they put their lives at risk because according to the government and the people that run the science, COVID-19 is the greatest thing since the green slime man on Ghostbusters, right? It is the invisible monster in the room. So you permit that to happen, but then people ask you, if it is possible, oh great God King, for me to get in my car as I have done on every occasion, every other day that COVID has existed before this occasion, to simply get in my car and drive behind other persons in their car, as would be the case going down East Street at 5 p.m. on any given day of the week. Or as would be the case, driving down Milo Butler Highway at 8 o'clock in the morning, any given day of the week. As would be the case, sitting on Shirley Street, on Bay Street, headed east, after 4:30 on any given day. The position of the people in the cars wouldn't change. I imagine that the types of people in the car wouldn't change. Because I don't know about you, waker or waker not, I'm not giving a stranger a ride in my car. Which means if the person is in my car, because I heard Mr. Money just now talking about people in the same household, and I know that is the law, but let's be quite honest, right? I don't live in the same household with my son. I don't wear a mask when I drive around with him. He's my son. So if I pick up my auntie, all right, and we go into the Labor Day motorcade, because that's all we want, I may very well not be wearing a mask. But am I putting the healthcare system at any greater of a loss than I would be if I kind of just went to her house or if she and I go grocery shopping together like many sisters in the Bahamas do? If you devote, you must say to yourself, as Prime Minister, if I devote that level of uniform effort in a failed attempt, because technically the police could not hold these people off, you must then say to yourself, I have misused the armed forces of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas over tenaz I am. And the list goes on and on and on. And what is truthful, or what appears to be the truth, is that politicians are perfectly comfortable with exercising, I don't know what it is that they've been exercising, but it obviously gives them some level of immunity of sorts from the COVID-19 pandemic, when in actuality, it is in fact those same maneuvers by the politicians that PAHO is blaming for upticks in COVID-19 cases. Yet you say you don't see a need to suspend campaigning. Yet you allow the speculation, again, and PAHO talks about this, allowing mischief to brew where there is no mischief. Literally, you could have told the people for Labor Day, I give you all for 3 hours. You got 3 hours, ride around, you could drive around the hole in Nassau in 3 hours. Ain't gonna be no bunch of hanging up. Ain't gonna be no DJ. You could blow your horn, you could wave your flag. I don't want no DJ because y'all like to be shaken up. And don't act like y'all ain't using DJs when y'all go in these people communities campaigning. If this is what you must say, if I as the Prime Minister stop laborers from celebrating on a holiday that is theirs after 1 year of being in a pandemic, an opportunity to celebrate their right as workers? If I, as a prime minister, make a greater kerfuffle of a situation than I ought to have made over nothingness, oh, what an ass I am. You have to do it. This is the game. This is how the game works. If you do something silly, you've got to say it, right? And this isn't Levin Miller. This is Paho, right? This is Paho that is saying to you people that it isn't us, that it is you all. And we've seen, and you know what is ridiculous is it appears to be a very common thread. Because today, well, not today, but in Jamaica, the same remains to be seen. That the uptick in Jamaica happened because Mr. Holness decided to call a snap election and ramp up campaigning, and then there was an outbreak. And the politicians move around with impunity. And no one says anything to them. But what must happen is you must can't go see mama, and I must can't go see papa, and sister across the road can't go see Uncle Bala. But the politicians, they put on red shirts and green shirts and yellow shirts and whatever color shirts that they desire, and somehow that gives them a superpower. And if you believe, you must say it to yourself, if I believe that somehow putting on a red shirt or a yellow shirt or a green shirt makes me less susceptible to catching COVID-19 as I move throughout communities that are very tightly knit, oh, what an ass I am. So I'm going to play for you. I'm going to play for you what Paho suggests, right? I got a couple of clips for you all this morning. And then I want to play for you what exactly is happening or happened in Jamaica. And then I want to talk small or slightly about I want to talk for a short time about vaccinations and where are we going with that. You see, I can no longer permit the Minister of Health to simply distort truth. And if a Minister of Health, and I don't think he understands, I don't think he or his Prime Minister understands that there needs to be a more humanistic approach to the communication surrounding vaccinations. And you can't continue with this idea that everybody that somehow doesn't want to take the vaccine isn't doing God's work and are all going to hell, and that's the reason why the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is going to crash and burn because these evil people do not want to take the vaccine. You must change the messaging, right? And so I will tell you that there is a country in the Caribbean that is, again, leading in vaccination numbers, right? Or at least has an 18 and in some instances a 20% margin on its Caribbean counterparts. You don't have to guess, I can tell you. The name of that country is Barbados. But I'm also going to then turn around and play for you the messaging behind the Prime Minister's message on vaccines. And then I want to play for you the person in the Bahamas that appears to have a message that mirrors it. And now I want to ask you, the listening audience, is the reason for the uptick not the politician's fault? And is the reason for the uncertainty of the vaccination not the politician's fault? You see, because when you create confidence, when you create empathy, and you let me know that, listen, I'm not stupid for believing that an emergency vaccine ought to only be taken in an emergency situation, and at present, my life suffers no emergency, and as a consequence, I do not want to take an emergency vaccine. But that doesn't make me a Neanderthal. As a matter of fact, I think that it makes me someone that has calculated the scenario more than many people. Certainly more than the sycophants that say nonsense, like taking a vaccine has been the proudest Bahamian moment in their entire life. They must be two. But this is where we are. And the problem we continue to face is because this behavior is almost blasphemous. They preach a gospel to us that they do not live by. And to his credit, it doesn't only seem to be Hubert Biddis. What this seems to be are black leaders in the Caribbean that are male or that have male fixtures. They're kind of doing, because there is a black woman in the Caribbean that is leading, and apparently she appears to be doing pretty okay. Anyway, Kermit, play my clip. This is Paho.
Thank you. During this week's press briefing, PAHO Director of Health Emergencies revealed that COVID-19 outbreaks have been related to political campaigning and voting.
As part of the previous voting processes, whereby PAHO offered cooperation and together with the ministries of health to be able to identify the situation of transmission before, during, and after the electoral processes, we have observed that the increase, the surge in cases is more related to the process of the electoral campaign than to the voting day.
According to the health emergencies expert, countries run a higher risk of COVID-19 spread during campaigning rather than the actual voting day because safety measures can be put in place on the day ballots are cast.
On voting day, the measures have been applied for protection. They have been properly applied, including, for example, social distancing among individuals, hand sanitation, the use of masks, the periods of voting have also been enhanced, and also the number of voting stands. So measures have been implemented on voting days, so the transmission has been reduced.
PAHO Director Dr. Carissa Edion also warning against political mischief of using the COVID-19 pandemic for political advancements.
By stoking controversy where there is none, our leaders are sending mixed messages to the public and are standing in the way of effective measures to control the virus. We must unite around stopping this virus, and this should be the first priority.
And so there you have it, right? PAHO is saying that, listen, politicians are using this thing as a little ping pong ball to control people, right? And they do silly things like stoke controversy. And when they stoke these controversial situations, what you end up with, right, is people acting in a way that they would not normally act. That causes an uptick. That's technically what she just said, right? So what you do is you let you and 10,000 people go walk through the grove, right? And somehow, COVID can't get you all doing that. You go and you nominate candidates and you all sit in a conference room and somehow COVID can't get you all doing that. The cabinet goes and it meets in a room and somehow COVID can't get you all doing that. And then when people come out and say, listen, all I want is a little bit of normalcy in my life. All I want to do is to be able to do some of the things that, you know, I normally do that I don't think is an excessive risk. I am going to take all of the precautions that you've advised. I'm going to wash my hands on the occasions that I can. I'm going to wear my mask on the occasions that I'm not drinking this beer. I largely intend to be drinking this beer or not talking to anybody, so I'm going to drink the beer and I won't be wearing the mask on that occasion. But what has happened is we've now started like a COVID boogerman kind of unit, right? Where people don't even know what the rules are anymore. I literally sat somewhere on Friday and witnessed grown men and women hiding in the bush. Hiding in the bush. Because the COVID people pulled up. Not to do anything, just to kind of check out the scene. But people are now living their lives in a state of fear that I don't think is reasonable. It is palpable to watch free men and women live their lives like this. This is the COVID boogerman. I don't know when I will be contrary to the rules. Because I've just watched 1,000 of them walk through my neighborhood and the COVID people didn't show up one time. I drive in my car every day and I'm not breaking a rule, but I want to now go on a motorcade and I risk being ticketed. And the superintendent of police sends out a wonderful little slate of what the fines will be. We've got to watch how we maneuver through this thing, man, because it's bordering on tyranny, if you ask me. All right? But this, interestingly enough, is not just a Hubert Minnis problem. This appears to be a problem with black male leadership in the Caribbean. Here is a clip from the Parliament of Jamaica where a member of the opposition is actually suggesting that the Prime Minister of Jamaica is doing exactly what the Prime Minister of the Bahamas is doing, which is on the occasions that it is expedient, whether it is his class anniversary or any other thing that he deems necessary, that's a perfectly okay event. He can perfectly go there and be perfectly fine. But on the occasions that you and I want to simply live our lives as humans, we are now breaking the law, we're terrible people, and the reason the Bahamas isn't going any further is because of us. All right, play me the clip from Jamaican Parliament, please.
Mr. President, in all fairness, with all fairness, and I've been consistent. And you see, that is what I learned as a child. My father used to tell me the truth is constant and consistent. The truth can't change. I was in the wilderness as one of the very few politicians who constantly said no election should be called, publicly and openly. I said no election should be called because the activities of an election were likely to contribute to everything opposite to that which has been proposed by the Ministry of Health. Let us look at the things proposed. Let us look, just give me a chance, just today. Let us look at what was proposed by the Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Health proposed that there should be a limiting of inter-community movement. No election limits inter-community movement. The Ministry of Health said that there should be a limiting of people interaction. No election limits people interaction. The Ministry of Health suggests that the activities of an election were likely to create risk for an increase in COVID cases. Not only did the ministry, I am consistent. Nobody can say that I have changed my opinion pre the last election and now. Nobody. In fact, some of the people were saying that it was making the opposition look afraid for a person of such high office to be openly saying, no election, no election, no election. Now, let us go further. The bill before us now also states that calling an election in a spike is a risk that they are unwilling to take to call this local government election. That is what this bill is proposing today. Now, you can claim you learned after the last election, but you cannot claim that the last election did not contribute. Let us go further. The Ministry of Health spoke to Nomination Day impact, that after Nomination Day, they expected a spike. The Ministry of Health, not Damien Crawford, the Ministry of Health, and Jamaica Labour Party has the cabinet, under whom Minister Tufton is the Ministry of Health. Is the Minister of Health. The ministry said they expected a spike after nomination. Okay. Nomination is a necessary part of an election. Now, may I talk about me, Damien Crawford? It goes further. The Ministry of Health predicted after Nomination Day that they expected a further spike after Election Day. Yes. And that has proven to be true. Okay. There is in scientific research a concept we call correlation. And while correlation isn't causation, correlation is a reason to seek information if there is causation. There is clear correlation between what was the case prior to the election and what has been the case since the election.
That's right.
Clear correlation. So therefore, the government should not be allowed to be absolved. There's a decision that was to be taken only by the Prime Minister. Yes. That is when an election was to be called. No matter what the opposition said or did, the Constitution offers him that right.
Maximum right.
That was an election that wasn't due until 2021 March. He sought political advantage, which he gained. He gained. And I mean, we can assume. But also, he gave us governmental disadvantage. He cannot be absolved from the downgrade to level 4 by the United States government, that Jamaica is now level 4, putting greater risk to the tourism industry. He cannot be absolved. And secondly, he cannot be absolved from the losses that the economy will take further.
That's right.
Because as you would have said, and many Jamaicans agreed, before the act of an election, the management was good. Many would agree. The logics of the numbers show that. No, Senator Webby. There was a time, Senator Webby. Senator Webby, you would agree that there was a time that Jamaica's numbers were not moving with the rest of the world. There was a time that the government was so proud of their actions that they were on TV 6 hours and 5 hours a day explaining how they were managing. And their reasons. One of the spike, the Black Lives Matter march in America contributed to a spike. The elections in America contributed. How is it that the government of Jamaica can say that the parties contribute to a spike in the holiday, but I can't say that the election contribute to a spike? How can they say the entertainment activities? Not me, the Prime Minister said that. That one of the reasons they are putting the Christmas under strike, under suspension, is because when they did a little freedom in the emancipation, it led to a spike. Then how they can blame entertainment for a 2 day period, and I can't blame them for a 30 day period? That's not reasonable and truthful. The other thing is, there's no scientific evidence where. And the scientists tell me that.
And so, you know, as I go throughout my time trying to prepare the show, right? I try to, because I don't want people to ever assume for a minute. And for those of you that are just tuning in, yes, it's still Levin Miller. I'm still Unleashed. I'm still on your radio. But I'm trying to see if we in the Caribbean or the Bahamas that is in the Sargasso Sea, I've just been advised by a Bahamian historian, I'm still checking it. But for those of you who will accept the Atlantic Ocean for sure, why does it seem as though for political expedience, Caribbean politicians will kind of just risk it all? And when they do well, they will beat their chests and say silly things like the Prime Minister is handling it masterfully. But when the spike upticks, like you heard in the Jamaican parliament there, when the spikes uptick in their Emancipation Day celebration, the government say the people cause it. An Emancipation Day that took 2 days to have. They say the people cause it. Yet you had 30 days of politicians walking up and down to people community, barefoot through the riverside, down the gully side, shaking hands, fist bumping and hugging. And you mean to tell me that didn't cause any of it? We've already had now campaigns brewing in Nassau for sure for over a month now. Every time I turn on my social media, there are, army of men in different colored T-shirts walking up and down the corridors of New Providence. Is that not doing anything for COVID? And so there seems to not be any concern for the general population. And I also believe that is why the number of vaccinations in places like the Bahamas and Jamaica are so low. Vaccinations in the Bahamas are hovering around 2.2%. Vaccinations in Jamaica are hovering around 0.2%. And I believe it is because the people have lost confidence in the politicians to be honest, fair, transparent, and open about COVID, open about the vaccine, and empathetic towards people who are not gung-ho about a vaccine. And I also think that they've approached this problem in such a myopic way that we haven't figured out yet how to work around it as best as we can with a level of efficiency that causes people to want to continue the protocols in a way that has proven to reduce the spread, albeit not the vaccine. What we do end up with, though, believe this or not, we end up with a minister of health who says crazy things on the news, that I cannot find scientific data, even when I ask some of the best scientists I know, to back it up. He says things like, it doesn't matter which variant of the COVID-19 you get, the AstraZeneca vaccine is effective, and the science proved that that is not true. The science proves that. But he looks right into the camera. He doesn't flinch. And he says it. And people like myself that sit there and said, well, that's not what I've read, know that up to one dose, there's only a 55% to maybe a 70% efficiency rate on the AstraZeneca. And that is helping with diseases symptoms of the disease. With two doses, 85 to 90%. It could reduce the possible of hospitalization up to 75% with one dose. It could also reduce mortality by 75% with one dose. And there is no data surrounding the mortality rate or the hospitalization rate with two doses. So I don't really know what this minister is talking about. And we also know that AstraZeneca only reduces the transmission rate by about 35%. Yet that's not what he says. And I think, and he also speaks to the people of the Bahamas in a tone that is lordy. As if to say, we are the ones that are causing the problem. Because we want to have Labor Day motorcades, we are the ones that are causing the problem. The issue with the whole hospital crumbling bursting at its seams with people is because we are the ones causing the problem. And that's not true. The truth is, they have not engendered the kind of confidence in the Bahamian population that would cause the people that have their hang-ups or their qualms about taking the vaccine to do so. They have not acted in a way that cannot be seen as duplicitous. And so as a consequence, we are where we are. Doing better than some people in the Caribbean, sure. Doing better than some people in the world, sure. But not doing anywhere near as good as I imagine we could be doing as the Bahamas. And continuing to allow a God King to rule over us in a way that, in my estimation, impedes on my fundamental rights. And what is regrettable is I'm not exactly sure that should we change the administration tomorrow, that those politicians on that side will engender any confidence that would cause people to now want to get in mass and go become vaccinated, or would cause there to be a difference in the operation in the way we've been doing COVID. And it is because I don't think they've been thinking that far. So I'm going to play the clip by the Minister of Health. I want to tell you, I turn my ears off most times I hear him. If the Minister of Health told me that the earth was the Lord and the fullness thereof, I would have to go and check my Bible to make sure that that was still in there. Because I cannot see him to ever place his statements in a bin of truth. And that is a difficulty for me. I do not connect with him on a level that makes me want to believe in my Minister of Health. And that is an issue for me. And it is because easily I find that as soon as he says something, I simply go to Google, right? Because the whole world watching COVID. And so you could find all kind of things to read. And I try to find some of the best sources. And the best, so if I'm going, whether it's BBC or Oxford or any one of those sites that I click onto, they all seem to have numbers that match. And somehow they don't sound like the numbers I hear him calling. So maybe they're all wrong and he's correct. Let's play the Minister of Health.
Well, some 3 months after test samples were sent to determine which variants of COVID-19 is in country, Health Minister Reinhard Wald said this week that officials still don't have those results.
We did send off 10 samples, as I said, from back in March in the House of Assembly. And to this point, I believe 5 of those samples were viable, which means that the DNA could have been extracted from the virus and it's being sequenced, though we do not have the results back as yet.
According to Wells, the Bahamas doesn't have the capacity to determine the specific variant, but can identify that there are variants. He says he's looking to upgrade the capacity to allow for genomic sequencing in country. Wells was asked when he can expect to see those results.
I'm pushing the issue with our National Reference Lab. Dr. Indira Martin has been doing a yeoman's task in the National Reference Lab. So I've been pushing the issue with her to, so that we can get the results back from CARFA, the Caribbean Public Health Agency in the Caribbean, so that we're able to inform the Bahamian people as to what particular variant we have. But again, I want to reiterate and state again, whichever variant it is, if you get vaccinated, the vaccine, AstraZeneca, has been proven to be effective against it.
Well, COVID-19 outbreaks can be directly linked to political campaigning, according to...
That is not the truth. It's not the truth. If you are vaccinated, sure, you have... Well, first of all, we need to get to herd immunity. So it helps the entire situation to be at herd immunity. There will be some level of protection against things like hospitalization and death, right? But that statement made by the minister is not factually correct. It was almost like when he said, we have the silver bullet. That's not factually correct. We have a cure. That's not factually correct. And I don't understand why they continue to let this man come out on the TV and make these kinds of blunders. Because what it does is it destroys the confidence of the people around. People like myself that say, boy, you know, I might consider the vaccine when I listen to the man responsible for bringing the vaccine here. Be this lost in the woods about it, it causes my confidence to dwindle. And that's why we're not meeting the numbers. That's why people like Dwayne Sands are saying we need at least another 100,000. Remember, it was this minister that told us, oh man, we should reach herd immunity by summer. Well, today is June. June 21st, in case you don't know, is the beginning of summer. We will not reach herd immunity by the summer. And so I want them to stop doing this. I want them to act in a way that is fair for us all. I want them to act in a way that seems fair to us all. I want them to ensure that they simply are empathetic, open, transparent, and honest, and allow people to make the decision. And in the instances that people don't want to make the decision, let us work together holistically as a society not to demonize those people. And if you cannot do that as the Minister of Health, you must look yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, because we still playing the game, over to Nas I am. I got more for you. There is a country in the Caribbean, right, that happens to be 22 points ahead of both of her counterparts, albeit with a smaller population, sure. Of course, without the challenge of the archipelagic makeup like the Bahamas does, sure. But I don't think that that's what's causing it. I think the simple thing is that she has engendered a level of confidence in her citizenry. And so 22% of her population has already been inoculated. And but for the challenge of getting more vaccines, she probably would have about a 60% rating, because according to the statistics, Barbadians support the vaccine by some 79% or something to that effect. 79 point something percent. 79.8% of Barbadians are perfectly comfortable taking the vaccine. And so the difficulty for her now is not giving it to people under a certain age, because the science around that is still a bit sketchy. Making sure that she gets it to the people that are frontline workers, because those are the people that she needs to have it. But largely, if she had 287,000 vials or times two of the COVID-19 vaccination, largely it is reasonable to assume that 80% of Barbadians would be vaccinated by now. And I think it has a lot to do with the behavior. It has a lot to do with the messaging. Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados.
There are many who are doubtful, and we have to respect that. But we have to have the conversations as to what underpins that doubt or that sense of hesitancy. For us, we saw it change in this country. We're at the beginning of this particular last outbreak. When we did the start of Operation Seek and Save, 55% of Barbadians being interviewed initially expressed hesitancy and concern about whether they would take a vaccine, and 45% said yes. Within 2 weeks, that started to change, and we saw a complete difference in the trajectory of interest in the vaccines. Within a month of that initial position, we saw and had data that suggested that 79.8%, almost 8 out of every 10 Barbadians, said, "Give me the vaccine we wanted."
And what is regrettable is while Miss Madam Motley is having that kind of success over there in Barbados, to the point that she can convince 80% of her population to decide that the vaccine is the way to go. And if you can inoculate 80%, the other 20%, according to what I understand from the science, won't matter because you would have achieved herd immunity, which is 70%. So she would actually be herd immune in escrow. They might as well send us the next 10%. At least they'll help us get closer to the line, right? But we've got to engender confidence. That is how we will get past this thing. That is how we will get the entire population inoculated. We've got to build confidence, and we've got to speak to people in a way that is not this volatile, hostile, aggressive style of governance and management. And I don't know where the Free National Movement has gotten the unmitigated gall from to approach people in this kind of manner. Anyway, I hear my music. That means I'm going to a break. When I get back, I've got one final clip for you of the guy that I think understands the way the messaging ought to be packaged, the kind of way that engenders confidence and gets people on the line to be vaccinated so we can achieve herd immunity. We'll hear it on the next edit.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether it is a senior citizen's facility or a private home of an elderly patient, it is important to keep older people who are 60 years and above safe. Healthcare professionals should take precautions when entering a senior citizen's facility or the private home of persons requiring medical care. This involves wearing personal protective equipment, or PPE, such as surgical masks, gloves, face shield or goggles, gowns, and shoe covers if available. These measures reduce the risk of transmission of COVID-19 between the caregiver and the patient. Proper application and removal of your PPE is also important to reduce transmission. Wear new PPE with each patient. Ensure that you wash your hands with soap and water before and after attending to each patient and between each procedure. Protect the elderly and protect yourself.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller here. I'm Unleash on your radio. Thank you for tuning in to Guardian 96.9 FM. And you don't have a need to move it. I mean, what else could you be listening to at 11 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, just stay with us. I promise you it's the best radio that you can ever listen to. All right, so let me continue going on, right? I talked about, and I don't know, y'all could call me if y'all want to, because I've been preaching to y'all for 45 minutes now. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. You can text me, 422-4796. Let me say it again, because I know you all say I say it too fast. The numbers are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, or you can text me at 422-4796. So there is a guy around here that I do think, believe, almost know, my heart just tells me, who understands the messaging, who understands the branding needed to get confidence built around the fight of COVID-19, who engenders confidence from the masses, who, in my estimation, is underutilized in this fight against COVID, and I tote no water for him, and I don't think he needs me to, as a matter of fact. But 17 months in now, with what seems to be a rudderless ship type of administration of the handling of COVID-19, 17 months in of watching the Prime Minister fly up and down to Family Island, 17 months in of watching the Prime Minister run beaches while we were locked down. See, because I ain't forgetting all that stuff, you know. 17 months of watching there be massive outbreak after massive outbreak after massive outbreak in the cabinet of the Bahamas. I ain't forgetting none of that. There is still no clear thought, still no clear path, still no clear confidence-building mechanism to get people inoculated. But I do think one person kind of got the message correct. Here's an interview with Dr. Dwayne Zanz as he talks about how we ought to go about convincing people to be inoculated and what it is that the government needs to do in order to achieve it. Dr. Dwayne Zanz.
For months, the Bahamas has been in the midst of a third wave of COVID-19 cases that shows no signs of slowing down. And with the number of reported cases reaching double digits each month, former Health Minister Dr. Dwayne Zanz says it's a continued cause for concern.
We are still in the third wave, and certainly the numbers for the Bahamas, and I will deal with this at great length when I give my budget contribution, are still worrisome. So we continue to have to be vigilant in terms of hand washing, sanitization, mask wearing, social distancing, etc. When it comes to vaccination is not an option yet for young people. And the risk-benefit analysis for young people is very different than it is for adults. So parents have to be very, very good, and guardians, about instructing their children as to how they should play and interact with others, teach them to wash their hands frequently, and for those that can wear a mask, how to wear it properly.
Officials in the Minnesota administration have repeatedly said that a key factor to getting out of the pandemic is getting people vaccinated. As of May 29th, more than 55,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine has been administered in the Bahamas. The National COVID-19 Consultative Committee has said unemployed or retired individuals accounted for the majority of those vaccinated. However, it did not provide a figure. Other professionals such as bankers, engineers, educators, and clergy accounted for 7,855 of the vaccinated population. Dr. Sand says vaccine hesitancy must be addressed.
I think we have to be loving, we have to be compassionate, we have to be caring to understand the concerns. People are afraid in some instances. They have seen all types of terrible things on the internet, on social media. There are all types of stories going around about horrible events, some of which are real. And I think we have to be open, transparent, honest with people about the risks, about the benefits, about who is at high risk for vaccine adverse events, and to let everybody know that this is a very personal decision. That said, the Bahamas also has to be able to position itself to be a COVID-safe destination. And so we have a lot of work to do. We haven't done the best job of speaking with people and addressing their very, very serious concerns. And I think one of the things that we need to do moving forward is to increase our public outreach.
And so that's Dr. Duane Sands, right? It sounds very coherent to me, very cogent. He's able to tell me, listen, this is where we are. No, if I take the vaccine, I will not automatically become super anti-COVID man, Minister of Health. That, yes, there are some people that have had very adverse conditions, albeit them not very many. Yes, there are people that are still, the science is still quite uncertain about how vaccines affect people of a certain age, right? And so, I mean, if you are going to be successful in this thing, in this inoculation process, if you are going to be successful in ensuring that we can return civil liberties to people, if you're going to be successful in trying to ensure that we can move from this supreme being type governorship that I've witnessed in my country over the last 17 months, then you've got to decide. They can call me back, Kermit. 323-623-2-3254-316-3254-259. I should have time for one. You've got to decide to repackage the message, to rebrand the message. You've got to decide that you are not going to vex 100,000 people willingly and willfully. You're going to have to decide that you're not going to be disrespectful and not communicate with the unions up to the 9th hour, up to the 11th hour. Because those things do not help the fight. You have to decide that as often an occasion as is possible, you are going to give people back their civil liberties. You're going to allow them to do things like motorcade because that don't cause more COVID spread than sitting in E-Street traffic. And if you refuse to do it, then you must at all time remember that we are playing the game. You must walk yourself to the mirror and say the word, Owa Tanaz, I am. Let's take the call. Come on and call. You're on.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, 52?
Yes, great show. You know, I always have a mouthful, but, you know, I'm so always reluctant to call because everybody has a problem with the truth. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's, you know, just trying to dispense the truth. So I guess every time Dr. Fauci opened up his mouth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's uncovering a more disingenuous statement that he's made. He's incriminating himself. But mm-hmm. That's another day. But the I hope everybody hang their head in shame about the lab leak hypothesis. The question is, why would a lab leak be a theory when it has already happened throughout history? So I was just trying to wonder, why would a lab leak be dubbed a conspiracy theory? But what I wanted to dwell on was, Dr. Sand said something that we need to pay attention to the data on the vaccine adverse event reporting system, right? Mm-hmm. And also, as far as the herd immunity, what they're lying about also is the non-specific antibodies and the cross immunity. And the fact that no one in the scientific community here in Nassau has disclosed the results of an influenza study that showed cross immunity to other strains, all right, even though it's being demonstrated from smallpox, mm-hmm. all right? And so the problem is these doctors are taking advantage of the illiterate and the ignorance. Dr. Fauci himself knows about relative risk reduction and absolute risk reduction. I'd ask Dwight to read it aloud to the public. I wanted to call Aaron because Aaron is good in maths. I understand what it is. And so we could just forget the maths and the science for right now. Just use the word relative and the word absolute. They are reporting a relative risk reduction in their vaccine studies, which in relative to just maybe 200 people or 170 people,
yeah,
and out of that, maybe 150
yeah.
out of the placebo group. Mm-hmm. So an absolute risk reduction is what is required by the CDC, all right? Mm-hmm. And so a relative risk reduction is only relevant in an experimental studies. An absolute risk reduction is required by law before you dispense the drug to the public. And so we see the global paradigm. Hence, we in this COVID viral merry-go-round, right? For 18 months now, and these jokers sitting on feeding us disinformation and misinformation. So I would like for Darrell Regis, in the key of Forbes, to call the public and explain to the people the difference between an absolute risk reduction and a relative risk reduction and the significance. A relative risk reduction is more like lying to the people, and they're only disclosing a relative risk reduction in these experiments, man. I'm telling you, man, Lee Wan, I would eat these people to pieces in any dialogue. You know why? I'm armed with the truth. People, this is the information here. They're exposed to it, and they're not seeing it. The guy called, he spoke to Dwight about the recent emails about Dr. Fauci. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Dwight didn't realize, me and C. Allen And Braman was right. I had exposed this information from last year, Joan and Guardian Reader and Michelle Malcolm show about the leaked emails from Nature Medicine and the information in The Lancet, and also about the article that Dr. Nicholas Wade wrote. And so the fact that they're denying the truth is what have the hesitancy, all right? They're not being true, but they even have plant-based vaccines right now, all right?
And, all right, 52. Yeah. Appreciate it, man. Let me read this one text. I think this text is spot on. Good morning, Mr. Miller. For me, it has nothing to do with making me confident in taking the vaccine. It's just that the vaccine is still an experimental drug that's only approved for emergency use. For me, I just simply refuse to be a part of an experiment. And no, I'm not scared. That's just my preference. Text right, I feel 100% like you. I don't call the fire engine, tell my house burning down. And I don't call the ambulance. As much as I won't go downtown, I don't go on an ambulance because I'm not having a heart attack. So if you tell me it's an emergency vaccine, I will say this publicly. If you meet Levan Miller anywhere and by chance I collapse, which I don't imagine there is a chance, and the ambulance has to take me and they say to you that they need to give me an emergency vaccine, you have my authorization to give it to me immediately. Until such time, I'm going to wait until we have an approved vaccine. Anyway, that's my time. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Levan Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. The news, it's now.
Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living
this
in us.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.